Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I'm your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Business Positioning Strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 74 countries. Whether it's your first time joining us or you've been listening to us for some time, I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here, we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network, Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us live, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, right there on Facebook and interact with the guests and other listeners show. Wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, I ask that you please subscribe. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Himalaya app, the Google Play Music app. Basically, wherever you listen to podcasts, Life Transformation Radio can be heard. So please subscribe wherever you listen to shows. On the show, my guests are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, basically amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does just that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live podcast at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday through Friday, call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number, 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show our guest for today and my friend, Alex Sanfilippo. I can never pronounce your name, man. How's it
going? Almost had it. You almost had it. Alex Sanfilippo. So close, man.
Sanfilippo. Oh, God. I was like, Sanfilippo. Nope, that's not right. I butchered it.
You know, it took me like 20 years to learn how to spell it, so you're good.
That's awesome, dude. How are you, man? It's been a while since we talked.
Yeah, no, I'm doing really well. Last time we talked, actually, is when you were a guest on my podcast, which incredible, by the way. But yeah, no, I've been doing really well, man. Just enjoying life, enjoying building businesses, and here I am.
Dude, I love it, man. I love it. You know, we definitely connected not only as podcasts at events that we attend, as an entrepreneur, and, you know, and having a passion for creating businesses, launching businesses, talking about branding, talking about, you know, what we love to do. And so it's super amazing to have you on the show, man. We're going to have a great, great topic to cover today. So if you're ready, man, let's do this.
Oh, I'm absolutely ready. Let's go.
All right, man. So the title of this episode is Creating a Brand with podcast host and entrepreneur Alex Sanfilippo. Alex is the host of the top 100 business podcast, Creating a Brand, and the founder of creatingabrand.com. Alex's focus is helping entrepreneurs grow personally and professionally while saving them time and money. Alex is passionate about forming community among entrepreneurs. He aims to help others succeed more in life and in business. His Facebook and LinkedIn are right there. Connect with him. Let him know that you heard him on Life Transformation Radio. While you're listening to the show, go ahead and search for his show, Creating a Brand, and subscribe wherever it is that you're currently listening to Life Transformation Radio. Go ahead and subscribe to his podcast, Creating a Brand. His website, creatingabrand.com. So, Alex, after reading all that, man, I got to know, what is your why? Why do you do what you do?
Man, that's a big question. It's a good one to start with. Here we go, like right off the gate.
Oh, yeah.
Here we are. I've actually got kind of, it's kind of threefold. So if you don't mind, I'm going to answer it in more than just a couple of words here. But
love it.
My why, the reason I decided to even launch Creating a Brand, or the reason that I even do anything that I do, was there was three main reasons. Number one, I wanted to utilize my skill. Naturally, I've always been good at building businesses, which I think we'll get into, so I'm not going to go into that too much. But building businesses, helping them scale, helping others do the same thing, it's just kind of a natural ability of mine. It's funny, as a kid, I wasn't great at sports. I wasn't good at school, and I wasn't good at video games, which is like the most awkward place to be as a kid, right? But I learned at a young age that I loved developing businesses and products. And so that's my skill, always has been. So my why ultimately was I wanted to utilize the skill that I have. Number two was to engage my passion. I am super, super passionate about building community. I love meeting new people. You know, you and I met at a conference because we're both outgoing people that were looking forward to meeting others and engaging. And I love doing that. And when I launched Creating a Brand, our entire product behind it is community focused. And that's something I love. I love introducing other entrepreneurs to one another, watching business partnerships grow, watching friendships, all those things. I'm really excited about that. So another piece of my why is just engaging my passion for community. And the last thing is just to what I believe is to fulfill my calling. And, you know, I know this isn't like a not meaning to preach or anything like that, but I believe all of us have a calling from God in our lives. And mine personally, I know, is to just help others. And that's something that I am just so passionate about doing, is just to help others succeed in life and business and go as far as they possibly can. I knew the best way for me to do this is to utilize my skill and engage my passion. So really just to help people build businesses and do it through community. So that is the long answer for what my why is.
Dude, I love it, man. And really, I think we share most of that why. You know, I look at community, I'm like, that's awesome. An engaged community on Facebook is really great. I think that doing things together, when you live life together in collaboration and not competition, although competition might be healthy, is the way forward, right? We can all agree that a lot are better than none.
Yes.
But what I love the most is creating something from nothing. Recently, for the past, since probably, last Wednesday or Thursday, I mean, today is August 6th. I think that's last Wednesday or Thursday. I've been putting out content in the afternoon that's like, if I were a, and I put out things like, if I were a Uber driver, I would create a podcast called Backseat Driving. And it would be me interviewing some of my people. And that idea kind of comes from, taxi cab confessions, and but not like what that content was, something completely different. You ask your guests like, hey, where are you headed? What are you doing? Oh, you're a businessman. What's one thing that you could tell somebody that wants to start a business or whatever? And you're like, can I record this? Like, I have a podcast called Backseat Driving. Would you like to backseat drive for a while? And then you just have them like rant about stuff. You know what I mean? And I just think it'd be cool just to like, I picked up this guy and picked up this guy and, you know, whatever. I also said that Bath & Body Works needs to have a men version. You know, women go over there, you pick up your little fruity soaps and whatever else. And then men, you can go over here to the garage or the bat cave or whatever you want to call it. And then you have fragrances for men like Midnight Oil or Gunpowder, you know, like.
Somebody's going to steal that idea if you don't call them first. You know that, right? You better reach out.
Dude, Bath & Body Works was like, we're not doing that. I'm like, okay. Someone's going to compete with you. And they're like, we're for women. Like, they don't care about men's fragrances.
Fair enough.
That sucks because women could buy things for their, what cologne do you wear? And I don't know. Like, most women buy fragrances and things for the man because they want them to smell a certain way.
Men, since I've been married, I haven't bought any of that stuff. So you're absolutely right. I haven't bought a single thing like that. My wife always picks it up. So she's like, this is nice. This will be good on you. You know, so
this will be good on you. I want you to smell this way. Here you go.
Right.
So I love the creation of business. That's what I love. And somebody was trying to coach me the other day. They were like, we could scale and we could grow. And I was like, I don't care about that. Like, I really don't. You know, most of my businesses go to six figures. I get bored and then I create another one. I don't know. I sell it off or whatever. I don't know. What do you think? What is your favorite part? It seems like creation, launching, and seems kind of like we're along the same lines.
I mean, my company's called Creating a Brand, so I think that kind of explains a little bit, right? I love the element of helping people. And, for a while I was doing business coaching for years, actually. And the thing about business coaching, which I'm not dogging it by any means, it's great. I get business coaching still, but it's time for dollars, right? So I had to keep my rates because I had to pay my bills as well and, you know, offset the time. So when I was doing that, I ended up getting away from people that were creating brands, if you will, and started working with people that are like, oh, you're already really established. And, oh, you've been doing this for a really long time. And this is really high level stuff. And it just wasn't my passion. My passion is to help those people that are more getting started or just entrepreneurs that aren't even sure where to go yet. That's what I love doing. So I'm with you on that. I like to go into that beginning level. Like, hey, how can we take something from concept to product? Like, how can we get it from A to Z? And, you know, obviously anything I've helped start, I love being there along the way and kind of checking in and things like that. I don't just disappear and like, all right, you're big now, I'm out of here. You know, I don't do anything like that, but I do enjoy the whole idea of creating a brand, for lack of a better term.
Heck yeah, man. I don't believe that life is all sunshine and rainbows. And I believe that there's always one moment in time, maybe two, but there's one moment in time that redirected our course, redirected our steps. Something happened because we didn't wake up and go, I think that I'm going to talk about branding. So tell us about your transformational moment. What was that moment in life that put you on the path to what you're doing today?
Yeah, man, I've got like three things immediately came to mind. I'll share, I guess, the big one here.
Sure.
So when I was 16, maybe even 15, I couldn't drive. So I was 15 years old. I started a business in the real estate industry. I was too young to invest in real estate. Couldn't do anything like that yet, but I started a company that was doing virtual tours of homes. And that was back before that technology didn't exist then. You know, it's like a 365 degree picture. So you'd like be on the MLS looking at a house you might want, and you could drag it from on the screen. You could like look at the roof, you could look at the floor, look all the way around. So it's a 360 view. We were the only, I mean, this was new technology. We were the only people doing this, at least in Florida, that I was aware of. So I started a company doing that. I ended up building up to a pretty good size. I had three editors and four photographers working with me. And we were just doing that. We're supporting realtors. We were directly accessing the MLS, posting that stuff on there. Yeah, it was a really cool thing. And, you know, when I was doing that, I was like getting more and more passionate about real estate. So I did that through my mid to late teens, I guess. And that's, I know it's really young to start a business, but it was going really well. And then the second I turned 18, I was like, you know, I'm investing in real estate. Like, it's time to start doing that. So I started building a rental portfolio. At that point, I had a lot of money saved up. I'd never really, you know, I didn't date much growing up. So like, I feel like that's where most kids' money goes when you're like a 16, 17, 18 year old boy. It's like buying stuff for girls, you know? So I held on to a lot of it. Some wisdom for our young listeners here today. But, so at 18, I had enough money to actually start investing in real estate. So I started doing that and doing rental properties. It was going super well. And then I remember seeing this magazine, and now I can't remember which one it was. It was Entrepreneur Magazine or Business Magazine, one of those. But anyway, they had like most successful under 30. And I saw that and I made it a life goal in that moment. I was like, you know what? Real estate is going to take me there. I'm going to be on that list.
Right.
And I was psyched about it. And then 2007 and 2008 hit, which for a young guy like me who was just kind of hustling, learning the basics of it, I had no idea that the economy was going to wreck the way it did. And, you know, when that happened, I kind of sat down. I'm like, well, what do I do? You know, I was making too much money to properly reinvest. I couldn't pay all the mortgage. Like, it just didn't work anymore. I had to actually move into one of my rental properties. And I look at the collateral that happened to me at 18 years old at this point, or 19 years old, whatever I may have been. And man, it set me back like 10 years. It took me 10 years to get back to where I thought it was going to be. I was 19 at the time. I remember I was 29 by the time I was like, all right, I guess I'm back on track, you know? And I didn't sit there and mope around. I actually got into aerospace and I became an executive in my mid to late 20s. So I did very well, but it set back all of my plans. And that was really my defining moment because I was going about life all wrong. Sure, I was chasing success, but I was chasing it for my own selfish gain. I wanted to be this. I wanted to be that. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to be that. And I was really coming, like realizing that I was becoming somebody that I didn't want to be. And I didn't realize this until things turned around. I ended up being somebody who was at one point, you know, for 19 years old, the most successful 19-year-old around, to the one that was in the absolute most debt out of anybody you'd be looking at who was 19 years old. And thankfully I was able to turn around over the years. I was very self-disciplined, but I learned a lot over that 10 years about myself, about business, about what really matters in life. And I consider that to be my transformational moment. I mean, it's a big story, but at the end of the day, I changed my entire outlook. I'm like, you know what? I want to help people grow their businesses. That's what I want to do instead of just going after selfish gain and becoming this, you know, real estate mogul for myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man, that's my life. You know everything now.
That's funny. Very cool, man. You know, I don't know anything about real estate. I mean, I know a little bit now. I didn't back then. I didn't care about real estate back then. But I kind of, I bet that more people look back at 2007 and 2008 and they look back to 2005 or 2006 and they say, yeah, I could have saw that coming. Like the signs were there.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know anything about real estate. I don't. But here's what I do know. I know market. And I can market. When you see like gold and silver start going up and then you see other things that are investable start going up, appreciating assets, they start going up. You can kind of see what's going to happen. The behavior of people start, I got to get into real estate because real estate is going up. Oh, I got to get into Bitcoin because it's going up. Oh, I got to get into Forex and I got to get into, you know, I know people who did oil just because oil was like skyrocketing.
Yeah.
I'm getting into gold and silver because gold's going up like a lot, you know. And do you know what all of those have in common besides being investable and all that stuff? Do you know what they all have in common? Honestly.
No. No.
Hypothecation.
True.
If you look at the behavior habits, if you look at the behavior habits of people when they invest, it's the hypothecation. Hypothecation is the process where Alex goes and buys a house. The bank hypothetically thinks that Alex is going to pay for that house. What they do is they leverage your house against somebody else's asset.
Mm-hmm.
And so hypothetically, if somebody didn't pay their house, they would take it. But in order to get that loan, there needs to be a hypothecation process. When gold and silver starts going up, people are hypothetically like, okay, I need to invest in that. And then the bank says, I have a lot of, quote, gold and silver because our money isn't backed by anything. So the hypothecation process that took place then, they rehypothecated it so many times, it became worthless.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So anytime, like if you see housing start skyrocketing again and gold and silver and Forex, and like everything starts going up, stocks and bonds, like everything starts going up, watch, there's going to be another crash.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I
will be.
Guarantee you. You see now, you can tell by the market, like hypothetically, right? Hypothetically, I'm going to get this and hypothetically, I'm going to get a return. Oh my gosh, I didn't get the return that I really wanted. I'm going to sell everything and then crash.
Yeah.
The hypothecation process breaks down. There was actually and I don't know why I went with this, but there's actually a company, I don't know what their name is, but in 2009, they went bankrupt. In 2010, they got sued. They rehypothecated their silver so many times. People went in there to get their silver certificates, and they said, I'm sorry, we don't have any. Issued me the silver certificate.
Right.
I do not have my silver that I bought from you because they rehypothecated in the market so many times. They literally don't have any silver left. And so they rehypothecated and they got caught and then they got sued. I forgot what it starts with an M, but I forgot. So I look at the market today and we're steady. We're growing, but it's nothing like it was before. Another crash will come soon. What I'm asking you, what does branding have to do with the real estate and all of like the Bitcoin stuff? I think it's up to like 11,000 now. I think it is. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, Bitcoin's the next greatest thing. I'm like, oh geez, here we go again. You know,
it's back.
It's like, right. I'm like, oh, I'm getting Forex.
Be gone next week and then it'll be
now.
Back again.
Right. You ever get those messages on LinkedIn and especially Facebook Messenger? You're like, you're an idiot if you're not in Bitcoin.
Right.
You know?
I have. Yes. Many times.
So as a branding expert like yourself inside the marketplace, you know, talk to us about the branding, the importance, how you can tell a good branding, how you can tell if it's not, what is brand, what is branding, you know, walk us through that process, man. Start educating the audience because I think people fail at what we're talking about right now, the behavioral habits, they're chasing that big thing, but really we should be chasing brand and not those easy dollars.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You did mention Bitcoin, and something that I think that they went on the whole branding side of things. First off, it looks good, right? You see anything Bitcoin related, it always looks consistent, looks nice. However, they used like a kind of a different model than most branding does. They actually went more for not confusion, but almost like a vagueness. So it kind of gave you like a curiosity. Like you're like, what is this? Like, I can't even understand it. And they never gave like a clear explanation. I think people kind of were drawn to it for that reason. And then they, you know, hypothetically made some value behind it. And that's the way that they did their branding. That's not the way that I like to do it, but it seems to have worked off and on for them. We'll see next week if it works for them or not. So, but in general, you know, when you're building something, especially in today's world, branding is so important. The way you package your product is that's what's going to make it succeed or not. Because literally you could have the greatest product on the other side of this mic, the greatest product. But if you can't tell me what it is, I can't tangibly see it and it doesn't look attractive to me, I don't really care. Right. I mean, right. That doesn't mean anything to me. So when we're thinking about branding and the way that we're actually branding ourselves and what we're doing, it's all got to be very consistent first off. And it's got to be as clear as it possibly can. Clarity wins every time. You could have the most complex explanation and most detailed explanation to what it is that you created. But if it's not clear to me or I have to think about it for too long, it doesn't really matter. I want you to clearly and quickly tell me this is what I have and this is what and you need it. You know, and that's what's actually going to win in branding.
Yep, 100%, man. So what is it different? I want to put you on the spot a little bit.
Okay,
instead of brand, instead of brand, use a different word.
Instead of brand, use a different word.
Yeah, instead of brand. Like if you had to describe brand, like what is a brand? You just use a different word. Is it like, is it basically a company? Is it a logo? Is it like, what is brand?
I mean, I don't know if this is the answer you're looking for, but at the end of the day, the creator of something is the brand behind it. If you really want to look what's
love
behind
it.
If you want, good. I wonder if that's the direction you wanted to go or
not.
But if you really want to look at the brand,
sure.
We are our own brands. And I think that that's ultimately what matters. Because if you have a terrible reputation, I don't care what this show, I don't care what this show is called. If I know you and I'm like, oh, that guy's, life transformation, the guy behind it, he's kind of like a scum, like he's a scumbag. Like, it doesn't matter. You could have the prettiest branding, the prettiest logo, the most clear message. But at the end of the day, the person who's behind it is what really matters. And that's what we're all grabbing onto. At the end of the day, every business is person to person. We're all P2P. I don't care if you call it B2B, whatever it is. We're all person to person at the end of the day. So whoever is that, whatever is behind the brand, which is you, that's the most important element in my mind.
100%. I don't buy Nike because they're made in sweatshops where children work for 3 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in the brand. It's not that they have a pretty logo and a pretty company. Like, that's not it. And a lot of people, especially on Facebook, I call them Facebookpreneurs. They say, look at my pretty branding and look at all this brand. And I got this awesome brand I'm building this brand. They think that it's a logo and they think that it's a company name.
Right.
It's not. So I think people need to be educated on what exactly brand in its simplest form, what is brand, because it's a difference between brand, branding, and packaging.
Yeah, there is a big difference. And ultimately, like we're saying, it starts with you. You are the number one piece. You are the brand. And after that, it turns into what problem are you solving?
Yep.
So what solution are you bringing to the table? Again, people are going to initially see that pretty logo or the pretty design that you have. So that is important as well. But at the end of the day, it's always going to be what the foundation is set on, which is you, your integrity, you as a human, your morals, and then the problem that you solve. What are you uniquely solving that the world needs?
100%. That is your brand. And then you go into packaging like, I have a TEDx coaching service program, whatever you want to call it, where if you want to get a TEDx talk, you come talk to me. There's a certain price. There's a certain packaging to it. You know, people come to me because of this one thing. I want to be a TEDx speaker. I don't know how. I keep getting denied. I really want it. I'm going to pay for someone to show me the way. You pay me to show you the way. The packaging of that comes in form of a price, how many times we're going to meet, the results that you're going to get. It's all packaging. The branding behind it is inside the marketing, inside the copyright, inside of the company beliefs and values. It's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, and really when you're doing all that, I think that because, again, the brand comes back to us, we're passionate about it. We really know what it is, but sometimes we can't clearly articulate that because we're so connected. And that's why I always recommend having a third party look at the branding or the packaging, as you're calling it, that people are going to see, because although it might make sense to you and me because we're the designers of it, a third party may be like, what the heck is this guy talking about? Like, what is this? You know, and at the end of the day, because we live in such a noisy world, the internet, Facebook, YouTube, all big social media, it's so loud and so quick and fighting for attention. What you have to do in order to succeed is you have to conserve people's calories. Now, you might not notice this, but when you're thinking or you're reading something and you're processing what you're looking at, you're actually burning calories. Like literally your body is burning calories. That's why people have sit down jobs in front of a desk. They're actually tired at the end of the day, even though they didn't physically do anything, but they're using that mental strength, which is also burning calories. So when people are looking at your brand and trying to define, you know, trying to figure out what it is, you want them to use as least amount of calories as possible and be able to clearly know what it is. And when they can do that, they're not fighting for attention. They're not like, okay, what is this person saying? I can't figure this out. All right, next. What's the next thing that I can look at?
Right.
Because a lot of people will do that. They'll just want to skip it because they're like, I don't know what this is. But, you know, Sean, you're a great public speaker, like one of the best I've actually had the opportunity to hear in person. So, you know,
thank you.
Hats off to you. But I can remember when you were talking about, you know, one of your things that you were promoting, I don't know if you still are right now, but you're teaching people how to do a TEDx talk. You made it really clear. Yeah. You're like, I'll teach you how to do a TEDx talk. Here's what we'll do, A, B, C, and that's how we'll do it. I didn't burn any calories figuring out what it was. But if you would have told me, do you want to speak on this stage because this platform is A, B, C, and X, Y, Z, and then this is the you know, the psychological level, what's going to happen, this is how you're going to do it. When you start explaining all that, I'm like, what is this guy selling to me? Like, what is this that he's offering?
Right.
But when you're really clear with it, that's the way I know, oh man, this guy, he's the real deal. And I can articulate really quick what this is. I'm conserving my calories and getting an answer I'm looking for.
That's a very good point. I didn't even think about that with calories and all that. What I do hear is you must use certain colors because they emit this energy, and psychology says that you must use these words strung together and design, and like, you know, people do research on all these wording groupings and everything like that.
Yeah.
I like your explanation better. Because confused minds don't buy.
Right. Yeah.
They just don't. I don't know what you're talking about. Next. I don't have your buy-in. Next. I don't believe in what you're selling. Next. Do you know what's really hot right now as a speaker? Do you know what's really, really hot inside corporate and different events is social responsibility.
Interesting. Well, share about that. I might have heard that before, but what is that exactly?
Did you know that businesses got, and if you watch any of the market news, not like Channel 5 and Channel 10 or Channel 20 or whatever.
Right, right.
I'm talking like the real news. I mean, not CNN or Fox or like, I mean, like the real news, like like Wall Street Journal, like you kind of can't flub that the fact that the Dow Jones is at, you know, whatever, like you kind of can't make that up. Right. So like the real news stuff usually comes from like, you know, the Wall Street Journal or like Business Insider or like something like that. Right.
Yeah.
What it is. And I find this incredibly important. Okay. When you look at that, like that real news stuff, the social response, do you know how many businesses got schwacked by the people that they do business with? Because they put out gay pride flags during LGBT month. But you know damn well they don't give a crap about that particular group of people. Right. They did it because they wanted to show social responsibility, and we care. No, you don't. And they even, and all of their branding says so. All of their words, their CEO, like, it'd be like this. It'd be like, back, I can't remember, it was just 2015 or 2016 or something like that. I'm pretty sure former President Obama lit up the White House in the rainbow colors. And they were like, oh, look, he's showing his affirmation of the LGBTQ, right? I remember mm-hmm. he lit up the White House that way. He does it in France, and, you know, whatever. Can you imagine what happened if Trump was like, we're going to light up the White House in these rainbow colors? And people go, you're full of crap. Right?
Yeah.
That's the branding. That's the social response. That's how powerful it is. People got called out back in May and June because they flew flags on the outside of the bank and the outside of their company. You know dang well the CEO, like if Chick-fil-A did it, people would be like, oh, yeah, right. Because the Chick-fil-A guy is really super religious. But that's what they did. That's what they did. They flew flags to say, oh, we believe in you guys. And you know what they said? They're like, you're full of crap. And then they took them down.
Right. Yep.
It was crazy. Social responsibility today. Social responsibilities from companies give more weight in the eyes of the younger generation, 16, 18, 22, 26. If a company cares about the whales or they care about the LGBT, if they care about, you know, like a lot of younger generation people, they will do business with businesses because of their social responsibility.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Again, brand and branding.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, I'm actually curious to see how that works for, because I know big corporations obviously has a huge impact, but what are like the smaller startups? Like, do you think that's something that needs to be in, you know, I'm not trying to flip this whole thing around on you. Now I feel like I'm interviewing you.
I love it.
But, but you know, do you think that's something that we need to take into consideration when we're getting started? And I really am curious. I want to know, like, if I'm just starting a product, let's just say it's something that's fitness related. Let's say I want to do like another fitness band of some sort, which I'm not going to do, but let's just say that's my product. Should I have some sort of social responsibility in there? Like, should I already be talking about these other things as well? I don't know. What do you think about that?
I'm going to answer it with a question, and it'll answer the question. I like how I put that. I'm going to answer it with a question, but it's going to answer the question. Do you know how many startups have their marketing that says, we have the greatest app, it's beautifully designed, it does this, it helps you out, and 20% of our proceeds go to animal shelters in San Francisco. And people go, oh, that's so great. They're attached to a foundation. They use it as part of their marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think that they should. I also say no, because they use it as a plot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you absolutely need to take into consideration the social impact of your company. 100%. Because I created a clothing line, an affirmation and empowerment clothing line back in May. And I could have easily said, oh my gosh, my proceeds are going to go fund LGBT rights, you know, whatever. And I would have been totally socially responsible according to that time of month.
Mm-hmm.
But do I really believe in that? Does my company believe in that? Like, am I just being disingenuous? We'll never know. Because companies will attach themselves to a foundation or a nonprofit to get people to align with their brand. That CEO might be a hateful man, but mm-hmm. he's like, well, I guess we have to attach ourselves to something. Let's save dogs.
Right.
But you see it all the time. Think about it. How many companies do you like, and a portion of our proceeds go to fund whatever? And you're like,
yeah. They don't care. They give you a good deal or something like that, you know? That does make sense, though. I think what we're kind of getting at here, though, is it's got to be genuine. It can't just be to do it just because it's like, oh, people like this, so let's partner with this. Because, you know, doing business coaching and stuff, you don't always end up talking to the CEO. But when I do with some of these bigger corporations, I'm not talking bad about anybody, so I'm not going to say any names here, but some of these people, they're like the most hateful people alive. I'm like, wait a second, to the Boys and Girls Club. I'm like, I don't care about that. It's like, okay. They're like, it's a tax write-off. You know, like that's the whole mindset.
Yep.
I'm like, dang, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous. But no, I think that if it's something you really believe in, and the truth is like my wife had started a boutique and now she's doing fantastic. She's actually one of the top rated boutiques in our city, has a great storefront, but she started off doing just pop-up shops. I'd go talk to the other vendors that are around there or they're selling. I just like to meet new people that are just getting started. And you could tell the ones that generally cared about something, because there was a lot of them that really had like a passion for something that was a social norm or an issue that they felt needed to be resolved, not just their brand. And the ones that really meant it, when you can see the leader of that with that passion side of you, can't even help but be like, I care about those dogs too. You know, like
yep.
You grab onto it when you feel like it's real. But when someone's like, it's fake, it's like, oh, whatever. Yeah, we do that on the side too. Like that's not, that hurts. That doesn't even feel real. You know, it's like, oh, what is that?
Yep. That's what I'm saying, man. Some of these companies, you know, you never know.
Yeah. No, I think that the whole point here is just, we gotta be genuine. We gotta be genuine with what we're doing.
100%. Absolutely. Otherwise, why are you doing it? What, to sell a couple more dollars? Like, now you're just being greedy. Now all you're doing, like literally at that point, all you're doing, okay? At that point, all you're doing is being a slave to the dollar. I must get more sales. How can I do this? And now you look even more like an a-hole.
Like, that's the truth.
You know, like, you already are money hungry, and now you're going to align yourself with a place that you don't even care about because it's a tax write-off and you look good?
Yeah.
You suck even more.
You know, I'll tell you what, my wife did this really right. And this might be motivation for anyone who's like, okay, what am I going to partner with? She actually found, instead of a company, she found projects that she wanted to partner with. One of them was, there was this, I can't remember where it was exactly. It was a human trafficking bust that had happened. And there was like 100 girls or something like that needed a place. And she partnered with that project until it was funded. So part of her proceeds went to that. And that's something that she's always been passionate about, is ending human trafficking. So it was really cool to watch her do this project, because on her website, she put the progress and stuff too. And it was something that she wanted to give to, and she was giving a large portion of her profit. And the people that were customers started getting passionate about too, and they wanted to help out. So it wasn't even like her just aligning with a single company. It was more like, this is our project. And when she was done with that one, she went to another one. She's like, what's our next project going to be? Like, what is a problem that we need to help solve? And I thought that was she's brilliant, by the way. You should have her on here. But anyway, she had just a cool concept of this same idea that we're talking about. That's a really good way for all of us to get in there. Find something we're passionate about, and not just, you know, alongside our product, and go from that route. Just find a project to partner with.
There you go. That's a good idea, man. That's a really good idea. There's a lot of like Habitat for Humanity projects. Suicide awareness events that are coming up. You could sponsor one. You could literally sponsor a suicide, because September is Suicide Awareness Month. You could literally partner with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, do an out of darkness walk, sponsor it, tax write up, you know, whatever. But you could literally partner and sponsor a walk for the community that you're in, and fulfill that social responsibility, and it's something that you might believe in.
I love that. No, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, man. So go forward and talk about your podcast. Where can they listen? What's it about? And some of the guests that you've had on there.
Yeah, for sure. First off, Sean Douglas has been a guest on there. That episode's not live yet, but it's coming up. So subscribe now. It's called Creating a Brand. You can find it literally anywhere you listen to music or podcast. I think I've got it everywhere at this point. There's so many like places those things get published these days. So
right.
If you don't have it in your preferred app, reach out to me and I will personally go on there and find a way to add it. So anyway, the podcast launched the 2nd of July. Yeah, July 2nd was when the first episode came out. And it was one of those things, I've done another podcast in the past that I still have going. I'm like in the second year of that one. So I had an idea of how this worked. I've written 2 online courses about how to podcast. So I had a good idea. So I knew it was going to succeed from the start. I knew that it was going to have a successful launch, but there's no way to anticipate the launch that I had, which was within the first 2 weeks, I hit top 100 business podcast and was being featured in multiple new noteworthy sections, like not even just one.
That's awesome.
It was on multiple man, it was so cool. And then Apple reached out to me directly, which I thought was really cool. And they're they've got it in the queue. Yeah, which was wild because I, you know, I had to check and make sure it was at apple.com, not like at apple123.com
right.
or something. Because that was my
right.
first thing. I'm like, no one emails you from Apple. But anyway, someone did, and they're in the podcasting division. They've got it in the queue to be featured on the main podcast app, I guess, browse page or whatever. So they've got it in the
Holy
queue
smokes.
To put it, which I'm so excited about, man. Like, really, like it got a good amount of traction. It wasn't, I don't have like a massive network. That's the thing. I didn't have like access to 100,000 people. I'm like, everyone go listen and download now. You know,
right.
I didn't have that, but I went out there and I followed the path that other successful people in this field have said to follow. I just went with it and did the best I could. And I believe that at the end of the day, it's out of our hands. I believe, you know, God did the rest for me and it just kind of ended up working out. So it had a great impact. And the whole idea of it, obviously, it's around creating a brand. The whole idea is just how can we educate entrepreneurs to be able to just do more, how they can save time and money and succeed faster. That's the whole idea on it. So I had like a wide range of guests. The first season obviously is finished recording. You're actually the last episode on it. You're kind of like the closer for season one. And I think we had a really cool conversation. Yeah, we had a really cool conversation. So I'm really excited about that one. It kind of ties the whole first season together. But like today, I talked to somebody on the topic of how to earn more customers. And he's talking about solving people's problems for free and what that can do, what kind of doors that can open with companies and businesses, and really cool talk. The week before, I talked to two Amazon third-party sellers. They're an eight-figure business, which is like so sweet. And they're doing like training and stuff now. And they scaled their business from $0 to I don't know how many millions now, eight figures, like I said, in just over 3 years. And I want to talk about what they learned about building a business. Like what did you learn? Like how'd you hire staff? How'd you learn how to do the legal side? And they just kind of walk through it. They're like super transparent. So all kinds of people like that. I love it, man. Like next week we've got somebody who's just talking about the art of asking for help, which I think is so cool. Cause people, entrepreneurs, especially, we feel like, no, I've got all the answers, you know, like, or I'll figure that out myself. But the truth is asking for help is a very valuable thing. So that's kind of the guest we have on there. And the whole idea around it, again, is just that I want to help people succeed as fast as possible without making mistakes that I made along the way. Because if I went back and calculate all the time and money I've wasted with just trying to get to where I am today, it's a lot. And, you know, it's all important steps. But if I can save somebody some of those steps and get them on the right track sooner, man, I'm all about that. Like I said earlier on, my calling in life, I just want to help people. I want to help people that are entrepreneurs that are just trying to grow what their passion is inside of them. I just want to be part of that.
That's amazing, man. And I agree. You know, this is why I started the show. There's a lot of shows that are like, let's talk about business. Like, well, there's about a million of those, you know.
Yes, there are.
Let's talk about diet and exercise. A million of those. I wanted to create something that is not, I don't know. It's like an origin podcast is not, to me, it's not fun. Like when I hear a podcast, they're like, all right, so what kind of person are you? Where'd you grow up? And it's like, man, we got to go through this whole life freaking story already.
Yeah, just to get to the one punchline, right? You're like, please get there.
Please, I want to listen to the show to learn about, you know, whatever. The reason I do what I do on this show is because rape victim advocates sometimes raped and they become an advocate because of their situation. People who were physically abused as a kid all of a sudden become advocates for other kids. Like, there are moments in life. For example, Mothers Against Drunk Driving was started because they lost their daughter to a drunk driver.
Mm-hmm.
I find that fascinating. I find it amazing that somebody has this transformational experience. Whether it because they lost somebody, they had something bad happen to them or what have you, and it alters their life. I always wonder, is that person's miracle or is it somebody else's miracle?
Oh,
or
wow.
Right? So think about this for a second. A young girl is killed by a drunk driver. Is the drunk driver changed? Or is the family changed? Whose transformational moment is it? If it's the mother's transformational moment, she got put on the path to build Mothers Against Drunk Driving and save millions of lives.
Mm-hmm.
If it's that drunk driver, maybe this is the third time he's been drunk driving and three times too many and ended up killing somebody. Maybe this is the moment that he gets his life together, gets his marriage back together, reconnects with his children, and starts appreciating life. Whose transformational moment is it? Same moment, two different perspectives, which affects thousands of people.
Wow, that's true, man. That's deep stuff.
That's why I started the show.
Yeah.
I want to get that transformational moment.
Yeah, you call it life transformation, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's where it's at. And this is like, I think this is a really unique show because I've been a guest on, I'm not going to say a lot of podcasts, but some podcasts, and I've done multiple things like that. I've never been on one like this. And I actually, that's one of the reasons I was so excited. I was talking to my wife earlier about it. I'm like, man, I'm psyched to be on this. This is something that's really cool. But I mean, transformation is really important. I think that if any of us have a transformational story and we keep it to ourselves, that's selfish. I mean, because who knows whose life is going to change by just going out there and talking about it a little bit. And sure, that means getting vulnerable at times, but like I said earlier, yep, like I poured everything out for you guys. I gave him a whole life story. I don't share that about my real estate journey with many people, but I just shared it with your whole audience. And it's one of those transformational moments. If I held that inside my whole life, who knows who is missing out on the opportunity to be helped and have their own transformational moment.
Right. 100%. Absolutely, man. And so as we start to close the show, I want to give you an opportunity to do a shameless plug. But before we do that,
all right,
if you're listening right now and anything has resonated with you, give us a call. 657-383-1109. Give us a call. Let us know. Give us your thoughts. And if you have a question for Alex or myself, if you're building a business and you're like, do I have the right branding? Is it the color scheme, the company name? I don't know. And let us know. Ask a question. You never know until you ask. My team is standing by to field your calls and to ask them right on the show. Call us up, 657-383-1109. Alex, shamelessly plug your programs, products, services, your show, whatever it is you want the audience to know and to do. This is your moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Thank you. No pressure. So my website, creatingabrand.com, the entire idea is to help entrepreneurs, myself included. We all help each other save time and money. We do this through community collaboration. The entire product is our own third-party social media platform. So it's not Facebook. It's not Instagram. Not any of that. It's its own platform. You log in, you create an account. It's a subscription basis. So you log in, you can test it for 3 days for free. I set that up right now. That way you guys could all check that out. If you go to creatingabrand.com, it's all set up. Basically, once you're in there, it's just a bunch of us communicating on various topics. We're sharing discount codes that we're getting for things. We're sharing business concepts. And then we do live events inside there. There's exclusive content that's from my guest on the podcast. You'll get to hear something from Sean in a couple of weeks here as well on there. And I also have a whole mess of online courses. I've been doing online courses for a while. I used to use a different program, but I was charging like anywhere from $100 to $300 per online course. But I went back to the whole thing. Well, I wasn't helping enough people. I wanted to help more people. And some of the people that are just getting started, they just don't have the budget for it or they don't see the value yet. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this away to my community. I call this whole thing, and a lot of marketers and salespeople really hate this, but I call it a reverse funnel. Basically, instead of the traditional funnel where it's like, I get you to buy a small product and then I sell you more and then I sell you more and I sell you more, you buy my one product and you have access to everything. So it's just flipping a funnel upside down. It's narrow at the top because I do charge up front, but once you're in the community, you're in, you have access to literally 100% of what I do. I do business coaching with everybody in there. And I'm just there to help people out, man. I absolutely love it. It's been a lot of fun. So like I said, courses, I've got stuff on blogging. I've got stuff on SEO. I've got things on building company culture. I've got things on podcasting, all kinds of things. I'm adding more every week and all that exclusive content. The idea is I'm just trying to build a tribe or mastermind of entrepreneurs. They're just all there to help each other, and let's all go further together.
Very cool, man. I like that a lot. I like that reverse funnel or upside down. Very cool, man. Yeah. Very cool. So as we close the show, give us a nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today.
Yeah, don't chase perfection. I think a lot of us, we get stuck in this mindset of, because we look at these other more established brands and companies, and they've got their marketing down. I mean, it all looks so sweet. It's all uniform. Everything is perfect. And we look at what we have and we say, okay, well, you know, I spent $20 on this logo because that's what I had, but it doesn't compete with that $2 million logo. I'm not ready to launch yet. I got to go out and do more here. Or you feel like you have to produce all this content up front before you launch. Here's the deal. If we wait for perfection, we're going to be waiting our whole lives. Or we're just going to miss our opportunity altogether. We're not going to have these chances we have all the time. The best thing you can do is get something from concept idea to a good working model and get it to market as quickly as possible, whatever it is that you're doing. Even if it's a service, you're saying, I want to do some coaching, launch as soon as you possibly can, earn as many customers as you possibly can, hustle as hard as you can at first, and improve as time goes on. Part of my journey was when I got out of real estate, as I shared, and I started getting into some of these other businesses. It took me like months and some things even years to actually launch something because I want it to be so perfect. But the truth is, the audience didn't care. They were looking for a solution to the problem. And if you believe you have that solution, don't wait for perfection. Go ahead and launch now and improve over time. The other thing is, a lot of people want to have all their best content figured out at the start. So they kind of get it all done and then they launch and they start sharing it. When you don't have an audience yet, and I'm not picking on anybody because this has been me many times, don't share your best content yet. Share what is relevant, what's going to help, and save that stuff. Because as you build an audience is when you can start sharing that really good content. And I'm just saying to schedule it out. Don't pour it all out there in day one and be like, here's right. everything. Because when you do that, when you start building an audience, you don't have anything new for them. You want to be able to schedule that out, grow with your audience.
Love it. 100% yeah, man. True, man. I give my best content out every single day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a one shot deal. Like, I repurpose content. I give my best stuff away, but I also have things that I charge for. So I'm giving things away that are really high value, but I also have paid clients that go, crap, what else do you know? I'm like, I know a lot. Like,
yeah,
you can't possibly put stuff out all in the same, like, that's stupid. So
right.
I 100% agree with you and love your heads at, man. Alex,
yeah. I got something else to share real quick. I got another minute, right? I got one more thing, if you don't mind. Because we live in a social media driven world, a lot of people get stuck and caught up in the follower count or the like count. You know, we want to see more people following us, more people liking us. Here's the deal. I just want to say this to everyone out there who's listening. That does not matter. At the end of the day, if you have, let's just say you have 300 followers on your Instagram account and 30 of them turn into customers. So 10% of them turn into it. If you have 100,000 followers and only 10 of them convert, you know, 0.01% convert, you're better off having the small Instagram account. It's all a vanity. It doesn't matter. So when you're out there chasing it or looking at these brands that have millions of followers and be like, man, I just want to get there. Don't do that. At the end of the day, I mean, the more you have, honestly, the more these social platforms charge you now because they want you to pay to play. When they see you have big numbers, they know they can make big money off of you. You're better off keeping it small and building loyal fans of what you're creating versus just another transaction, one-off customer. I would rather help 400 people on the Creating a Brand community. I think that's where I'm probably going to cap it at. I'd rather help 400 people and then that's it than have a million transactions. Because it's better to build people that want to stay with you and want to be that tribe with you than just going after that one more. Because you'll chase it and it'll never be enough.
Absolutely. 100%.
That's all. Shut up now, man.
Do not equal dollars.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Likes do not equal dollars. I get all, dude, do you many times get told these two things right here? Number one, well, I got 5,000 friends, but like hardly any engagement. There's only like 10 or 12 likes and like 4 comments.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
And my response is number two, do you many times I get a Facebook message or a LinkedIn message or an Instagram message saying, holy crap, love your content, keep it up, learn a lot. Too many people message me and say, wow, that was super amazing, thank you for sharing. And then I look at that person and I look at my post and they never like, shared, or comment on it.
Hmm.
And most people say, though, oh, I just don't comment on a lot of stuff. I put out a post about listening all the time. I'm just educating. And then somebody messaged me today. Oh, my gosh. Dude, that was a killer post. Now that's going to help me a lot. And then I said, didn't you comment that on the post? And they're like, I read it. I saved your post. And then moving on to something else. I just got around now to telling you that I really enjoyed it. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I was just wondering. And they're like, I don't know. I didn't want to. They would rather tell me they loved it personally than put that in a comment somewhere.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I stopped looking at likes and shares. And like, if that's your plan for relevance is like, share, comment, you are severely delusional.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I had someone I was coaching. It was a company, and I was doing some business coaching with them, and they had like almost 200,000 followers, and it was actually a product company. I was like, man, how much is this converting to sales? And they said almost none. That was their answer, like almost none from Instagram. They're like, we get it from other places, though. I'm like, this is all vanity. I'm like, this literally doesn't matter at all. Like, why are you wasting so much time posting on here if no one's even a customer? Like, what's the point of it? And we're just saying the same thing over and over again, but I think it's really important to talk about because, again, your brand and your branding and all that is important, but more importantly is developing what you're doing, not just looking at social media numbers, because you literally get caught on that and the rest of your career, the rest of your entrepreneurship life can be chasing one more like, one more follower. And that is a dangerous, dangerous track to be on because it will cripple your business like nothing else.
100%. Absolutely. Facebook did a survey of the people's Facebook pages with over a million followers, likes, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
They have a million people. And they looked at it and how much content is being distributed. So it was pages with content every day, you know, whatever. The most they saw was 8%. Eight.
Really?
That means that 8%, something like that would have been like what, like 10% of a million would have been like what, 100,000, 10,000,
yeah,
whatever. So you're looking at 8,000, 5,000, 12,000. That's all that is commenting, liking it. Out of a million people. And you're worried
it's
about likes and everything.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. They want you to pay for that.
Right.
That's why pages were created for ads. It's a revenue generator. They're basically like, well, here's some 20,000 likes. Man, if I just bought some more, because they know what we feed off of, which is ridiculous. So I put out content on my page and our profile, LinkedIn, Instagram. I put it all out there. I do it every day at the same time, consistently with my messaging and branding, and invoice people all the time for work. I get people that message me all the time. Loved your content. Want to dive in more. Awesome. Here's my link to sign up for my online course or here's my book or here's my whatever. And they're always wanting to get, because I'm consistently teaching and training, mentoring my audience on all of my social media through written audio and visual content. Boom. So just say, just stay consistent, man. Stay the course. Just because you think that nobody is watching it, people are watching.
That's true. Yes.
Boom. All right, man. Dude, loved having you on the show. Great conversation. And
yeah,
man, I wish you the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wish you the best, my friend. So with that, we close the show. If anything resonated with you, go to creatingabrand.com. Facebook, LinkedIn links are inside the show notes. Subscribe wherever you're comfortable listening to the podcast, to Creating a Brand Podcast and to Life Transformation Radio. And with that, I close the show by saying, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.